Welcome to the Nintendo Fusion Podcast, a podcast that fuses past, present, and future Nintendo thought. I'm David, accompanied by my friend, Jordan. Now, Jordan, what do you call a tree that's totally lost its mind?
A Deku tree? I'm trying to think.
oh, so close, so close. You almost got it. It's a Deku nut.
Oh.
Oh, man, I love these puns. Just hearing you basically groan every time I give one and get so close is like it's a euphoria for me.
I'll get one of them one of these days.
Yeah, you're getting closer and closer every time. But yeah, speaking of Deku nuts, we have quite a bit to talk about today. We got gameplay footage from The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom this week. Nintendo just announced on their Twitter, I think on Monday, hey, check out tomorrow. We'll have a video on YouTube. It'll be cool at like 8 in the morning our time.
Which was fine for me because I was still operating off of East Coast time, so.
Oh, yeah. So it was like 10.
Yeah, I woke up at 6 in the morning anyway.
Dang. Yeah, I was traveling head into work and watched it later, but it was pretty fun. It was really fun seeing Aonuma play the game. Honestly, it took me back to like that what was it, the Game Awards presentation where he and Miyamoto were like riding the horse through the forest.
Yeah, this was a bit more in depth than that one was.
Yes, thank goodness. Not just, you'll notice that we're not running into trees.
It was ahead of its time.
It was ahead
of
its time.
If only that was part of Red Dead Redemption 2, not running into trees.
Yeah. But hey, Aonuma basically started in the same way. He was riding on top of a horse. He had Link riding a horse at the very beginning, which is fun. And we got to see Hyrule a little bit on the ground. What's interesting is I couldn't recognize like anything on the ground. I know it was at a... near like the Dueling Peaks, I believe, is where he ended up going. But everything looked so different to me. So I'm also wondering if I should play Breath of the Wild before Tears of the Kingdom comes out, or if I should maintain this childlike wonder. What do you think?
So I personally am going to avoid playing Breath of the Wild before this game, just because they are reusing a lot of assets from the previous map.
Yeah.
Even though this like general area was different than it is in the base game, it's still like recognizable enough that you were quickly able to figure out where it was on the map, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not notice the two giant mountains.
Right. So,
but I will say not having the Sheikah shrines was different.
Yeah.
Right.
So we got a big, like he does a dive bomb at one point in the trailer and we see a large view of the map and there's no Sheikah shrines to like see anywhere.
No. And we have towers, but the real question is, are they Sheikah towers or are they something else? I know some fans are still calling them Sheikah towers, but I really don't think we're seeing much Sheikah technology at all in this game.
Yeah, so that begs the question of how is fast travel going to work in this game?
Well, I think that the solution to that is those rocks with the blue, or not the blue, the green circled energy coming off of them. We saw a couple of those in the trailer and in this gameplay footage. There's one point where Link is on the Sky Islands in Aonuma's gameplay where you can look down at the map and there's an icon that looks very similar to a Sheikah shrine. It's that like blue diamond shape, but it has like what looks like the rock in the center of it. So I think those rocks are our new Sheikah shrine fast travel points.
Okay. So how do you unlock them? Or is it going to be another just puzzle sort of thing?
It's unclear. He didn't get close enough for us to see if there's like a door or whatever. Maybe Link's new hand can like shoot him through the rock and we go someplace new instead of riding an elevator down. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah. There's another ability that they haven't told us. Descend.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why there wouldn't be like some kind of descend. I mean, to be fair, they're probably, if there is a descend option, they're probably hiding that from us because that gives away too much about being able to go underground in Hyrule.
Yes, and going underground or at least like kind of cave systems was one of the things I was looking forward to most hopefully appearing in this game. Because like there's not a whole lot of well, verticality to Breath of the Wild's map.
Right.
All the verticality is just climbing up things into another flat plane. But so I was really hoping that we'd get some like winding tunnels. And there is a point where he like steps into a cave and then immediately goes out of it.
He's like, I'm going to show you how to ascend through the cave. And we're like, but it's a cave.
Yeah.
And the one thing that a lot of people didn't notice is if you look at the map in the bottom of the screen, there's actually an icon for the cave itself. It's like a cave and it has a check mark on it. Which probably indicates that you do some level of exploration and the map will put a check mark if you've finished a cave. So that makes me think that caves are really important in this game.
Yeah, or at least at the same level of importance as they are in Skyrim. Because that's a very similar UI to like Skyrim, where it's just you discover the cave or whatever and there's just caves everywhere.
Yeah,
which is what I want out of Zelda. Like I want winding cave systems like Skyrim has. That's the funnest part about Skyrim. That's the funnest part about most open world games for me. I think I was saying this in a previous episode, but I really just like looking for the kind of like dungeon-esque area thing. So like Fallout would be the vaults or something. But so I'm really hoping for like dungeons and caves. That's the number one thing I want.
Yeah. I mean, in the last gameplay trailer, or not gameplay trailer, like the full-blown trailer, it did sound like we were in a gigantic cave system at one point. You can hear like the bokoblins mining and there's a distinct echo sound.
Right.
So we're still very hopeful for the caves. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And there has been a lot of speculation that the underground area you're going to play as like Zelda or something and working your way up, back up to Hyrule, whereas Link is coming from the sky trying to work his way down so that you like kind of meet together. And then part of that speculation is because Link is missing the Sheikah Slate and all of its abilities. And this trailer kind of soft confirms that we're not getting Sheikah Slate abilities back.
Right. They showed that cycling through all of those different hand abilities, which interestingly, there wasn't a selection UI for that. More so, there was just like an icon up in the top corner. Right. So they either did that on purpose to show us like that we're missing maybe one hand ability or something like that. I don't know. Or that's just the new UI in general.
Yeah. Could be Descend.
Could be Descend. You know, you unlock that way later. I mean, we still have that like thing of what looks like energy or tears that Link gets on the side of his, on his hip in one of the trailers. So maybe you're collecting more of that to power up your hand so you can delve into the depths to go save Zelda or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But there's a lot of other interesting things in the trailer besides just the caves, even though we are very hopeful for expansive cave systems on Hyrule itself. I mean, I guess I should say the fact that we saw those bokoblins in the caves makes me think that they are on the surface, because we only ever saw a new enemy type that they showed off. Well, I guess it's not a new enemy type, but they gave us a confirmation that there are lots of them, of the constructs on the islands. And we only really see those constructs up in the sky, and we don't see any bokoblins or other creatures of malice up in the sky islands. So seeing the bokoblins in that cave in the previous trailer makes me think that it's definitely below the surface.
Yeah, so these are going to be like the stand-ins for the Sheikah construct sort of things, because it wouldn't make a lot of story sense for those to be hostile anymore.
Right.
So we're going to need some sort of replacement for the Guardians.
And I think these constructs, which are also confirmed to be Zonai, though I don't think they're actually like Zonai people.
Well, they might be. So there is an NPC construct like working in a garden, or not a garden, but like working some plants in the demo.
True. Though they only ever call it a construct. They don't like call it a Zonai.
That's true.
Anything. It's like with all of the Hylians, I swear like we would see Hylian Traveler in Breath of the Wild appear above their heads as NPCs. I might be wrong on that.
So I guess the Zonai just created a bunch of AIs and then peaced out.
Maybe. I mean, considering we've had robots since Skyward Sword, which funnily enough, we've talked about Skyward Sword multiple times when it comes to this Tears of the Kingdom game. We had all those robots in Tears of the Kingdom that were definitely sentient. But I mean, it could be related to that somehow. I don't know.
Well, we talked about the like the recursive theory where this, like, the Zelda timeline is a circle or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But now this is actually a prequel to Skyward Sword. Maybe the constructs are the prequel or the previous iteration of those constructs in Skyward Sword.
I mean, that's totally possible. I'm not a huge fan of the circle timeline theory because I'd like the story to move onward and not see Hyrule just endlessly lost to Ganon.
So, like, if it is the circle and this is the end, it doesn't leave a lot of areas for future Zelda games to, like, break into the line.
What are you talking about? We have a whole 10,000 year gap between Breath of the Wild and whatever game came before it.
Right. I don't think a whole lot happened in that 10,000 year gap, though. We have, like, one event, and that was the event that was the legend, right?
Yeah, right. So I honestly don't know what's going to happen with the timeline stuff. But I hope that they finish Tears of the Kingdom and they give us a whole new gigantic map somewhere else. Because as much as I love Hyrule, I'm already starting to feel like we need another map. Even with all of the new verticality and the Sky Islands looking vast and completely new, I still think they're going to have to pull off a whole new location for the next game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do think that this game was pretty much a lot of feature creep.
Yes.
I think the original intent was this was going to be a large expansion as DLC for Breath of the Wild. They were just going to add Sky Islands and maybe some caves, right? And then they just kept adding more and more features to it until they decided, oh, it's a sequel now. And that was probably when we got the confirmation. The sequel is now in development. It's like, what do you mean now in development? It's been 2 years. Well, it was probably because it was being worked on as a DLC up to that point. And that was when they made the shift to a full-on game.
I think that's totally possible. I mean, we finally have the big hook, right? That is why this game is different from Breath of the Wild, besides just the new islands and verticality. And we've seen, like, hints of some of these hand abilities that we mentioned earlier with that rewind. We saw that in, like, the first real trailer, I think, that showed some gameplay, I guess. But now we have the main gimmick, right? What's the main gimmick?
Yeah, the main gimmick is that you can fuse things with pretty much anything, which is really open-ended. They're definitely playing off of, like, the main things that people praised Breath of the Wild for, which was the sandbox abilities, ultimate and ultimate freedom, just to mess around with things. They even, like, took a lot of, like, player habits from Breath of the Wild 1 and repurposed them into the main gimmick here, where we were making flying machines in the first game, right? And we always thought, oh, it's so nice, and Nintendo never patched it out. Well, not only did they not patch it out, they ended up copying that for
and made a whole system around it.
Yeah. So you can fuse weapons together to make new weapons. So, like, they'll just be longer or stronger, more durable and all that. The fuse system is pretty extensive for arrows. So you're not going to be, like, having to buy a wide selection of arrows anymore. You're just going to fuse arrows on the go with, like, whatever supplies you have, which gives a lot more, like, purpose to monster items, which I really like.
Oh, 100%. That was one of the biggest complaints people had with monster items in Breath of the Wild, where it was like you collected them, but their only purpose was to make, like, monster potions or to sell them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so you'll be able to attach them to arrows and your shield. We didn't see anything about attaching them to your weapon, but I wouldn't be surprised if you can attach monster items to weapons.
Right.
We just saw a shroom getting put on the shield. We also saw in an earlier trailer, like, a flamethrower being added to a shield, and we thought that would be, like, some sort of item that is, like, a dungeon-specific item. Looks like we're not getting dungeon-specific items.
I know, which is so sad, but I guess this fusion mechanic is so open-ended that it kind of makes up for it in some ways, as long as we do still get dungeons that have some useful rewards. I mean, I'd still love to see, you know, double claw shots. That'd be sick.
Yeah, there's things that you can't fuse together that I would really love to see part of the expanded. If they're not going to be, like, specific dungeon items, at least make them droppable items from monsters, such as the double claw shot. I would love a ball and chain.
Yeah, I've missed that item. That was one of the coolest things they added in Twilight Princess.
I guess you could technically fuse a ball and chain together. That'd be a cool one to fuse.
I mean, there are a lot of theories going around that there's going to be some kind of weapon crafting system, too, besides just fusing things together. A lot of enemies now seem, well, in the context of this whole fusing together, it seems like some of the new monster designs are with making new swords in general. I bring this up because the Zonai construct that Onuma fought had a big horn on its head that looked really similar to like a sword blade. And now looking back at all of the upgraded like moblins and bokoblins and whatnot, their horns look oddly like weapons, like blades and stuff. So maybe that's how you make a lot of the more advanced and super strong weapons, is they're rare drops from enemies and you can make them somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. I would also like some more like rare monster part drops too, for really cool items. Just like the Monster Hunter fan in me just like wants to sever a tail of something and attach it on a stick. But
yeah, well, that'd be so cool. But I think it's a really neat system. The weapon fusing is honestly really cool, and like you said, just adds a whole nother layer of depth to the game. I think we'll see a lot of really interesting combinations, and I think it'll be very fun to experiment with as we kind of go through the game itself and see how the system evolves as you go farther and farther. Because I know one of the biggest complaints about the series, or at least about Breath of the Wild, was like you would just find stronger weapons in different locations or from harder enemies as you go throughout the game. And it didn't feel like you got much of a power up in general, besides getting more hearts and stamina and finding those better weapons. If we have to like solely craft better weapons or fuse them together, I think that adds a lot more power and consistency to the, as you progress throughout the game, you get stronger because you're just going to have more and more and better materials.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
They could also make the craftable weapons be the ones that don't have durability on them. So then that's still, that will appease people that like don't like durability on their weapons.
Right. Because that's a huge complaint still.
Yeah. I personally like the durability. I'm perfectly fine with just being able to pick up something else and play with it. I think that's kind of fun, but I could definitely see people getting sentimentally attached to certain items and then not wanting to like use them ever, which that's what you have like the shrine in your house for, to put the items that
exactly.
You have sentimental value.
I was about to say that. That's why you have those. That's why Link's house exists, is so that you can drop off the champion items that you're never going to use.
Yeah, well, I used them. They broke.
Well, you can get them again. Like,
yeah.
But anyway. But what also makes things interesting is in the last trailer, we saw Link making, or I guess riding around on all of those different vehicles, you know, the gigantic car machine as it drove around, the flying machines and all of that. And Onuma was like, yeah, so that's an ability you get, which we kind of figured you'd have some sort of ability to do that. But now it's very much you can do these types of constructs and machinery things pretty much anywhere you can find the materials.
Yeah.
Which really cool.
It's cool. It's really cool. It's not quite as nuts and boltsy as I was really worried about, because it's going to be just
thank goodness.
Yeah. So it's more of just like a puzzle element added to the game and not a main focus of the game. Kind of just something you can do. And like, this is definitely the part that they copied from fans, fan behavior of how we played the game, where we were making flying contraptions and stuff with the Sheikah Slate abilities. It's a bit more limited than I was expecting, because if you think about it, you're not going to be able to like really carry these parts very far distances. So like all the machines are going to be kind of like pre-thought out machines, just kind of scattered in small areas, because you only have so much of like battery power to these motors that move things around.
But the battery power recharged.
Oh,
I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't.
So, once Onuma turned it off, the battery icon started replenishing, much like your stamina does.
Okay, so then you can go around and pick up more items elsewhere. pick up more motors.
Additionally, there was an icon on the map that was straight up a battery symbol. And if you look at the flying machine, or not the flying machine, the like cart machine from the last trailer, there's like a big green, what looks like a battery on it that's way bigger than anything else we've seen. And with the battery icon on the map and looking at that picture of that cylinder, it's assumed that we get much higher capacity batteries scattered around the map as well, so that some of our machines can last much, much, much longer on a single charge.
So my next question is, will my machine despawn when I go too far away from it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because how much investment should I put into my machine is what I'm wondering.
Gotta start customizing it. Maybe they'll have like stables, but for your machines.
Oh. So you can have like
how you can save
machines.
A certain number of horses.
Yeah,
yes,
I can
exactly.
See that. So you register like a certain number of machines, and then those machines can be out in the wild or whatever. And you can only have so many registered machines. And if they're not registered, then they despawn if you're too far away.
Maybe they just register right to your hand. And so we don't need a stable for them.
You have to whistle and then they come galloping towards you.
No, I think it's going to be more like the Sheikah bike if it's like that, the master cycle, where it just like appears out of thin air.
I like whistling.
I do too.
Did you see that they moved the whistle button?
Did they? Where did it go to?
Well, so in the previous game, was it down or up on the D-pad?
It was down.
Oh, down. Never mind then.
I thought it was up. It was probably up.
So up is now food. You
right,
sit on the UI.
Which I wanted to talk about that change, by the way, but you can continue talking about whistling.
Oh, no. Like we could talk about I was okay. Whistling.
But they balanced food, Jordan.
Did they?
It seems like, well, we didn't see him doing it, but if your food icon is like an actual button and not in the pause menu, maybe that means Link has to actually eat in the overworld.
Oh.
So you pick the food and he has to do the eating animation while the overworld continues to progress.
We Dark Souls now.
No more pausing the game and scarfing down 80 apples when you're hurt.
We're moving from Skyrim to Dark Souls. All right. My cheese wheels.
I mean, if that's the change, I think it's a good one. I think that it wasn't a problem in Breath of the Wild, but it definitely felt somewhat cheaty that you could just have a massive amount of food stored up and then just instantly heal yourself while fighting a hard enemy.
So I could see the like animation for like eating still being a thing. But I imagine like selecting your food is still going to pause the game. Sort of like
right.
How selecting weapons is.
Yes.
It slows down time though, doesn't it? It's not quite pause.
No, when you are selecting weapons in Breath of the Wild, it pauses the game. And when Onuma was attaching items to his shield and to his arrows, it looked like the game completely paused as well.
Okay, yeah. So I imagine when you're selecting food, it's also going to pause.
Right, but now you have to eat it in the overworld, I think.
Yeah. Hopefully you can still like move around.
I imagine you will be, but your speed will probably be significantly reduced.
Yeah. It really depends. Like, there's a bunch of games like old Monster Hunters where you have to eat in the overworld, but you can't move at all. You have to stand still.
I don't think they do that to Zelda.
Like, eating is a huge downside. You have to make sure you're real safe for the games like that. Whereas, like, Elden Ring, you basically have full movement while drinking a potion. So
yeah, they could probably go either way. I'd imagine that they would have you do it a little slower, but the eating animation will be just as fast as Link scarfing things down in the Breath of the Wild menu. That's my prediction, because I think it only takes like 2 seconds for Link to eat in the menu,
especially since like some of those dishes heal so much health.
Yeah, no, for real, like, and give you over health and over stamina. Like, the food system was great in Breath of the Wild, but being able to just pause the game and eat at any moment kind of breaks the experience, I think.
I wonder if they'll make it so that you can't like eat stamina foods while climbing.
That's totally possible. That might be one of the trade-offs for having the ascend ability, right?
Right.
To try to get you to shoot up through the mountains if you find a cave or something, rather than climbing the whole thing. I don't know, but yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes with those kinds of balance changes. combat didn't look too different other than all of the fusibility, which I guess is fine. I wasn't expecting major changes in that regard. But considering that enemies can hold fused items, I think is another really cool change, because it's also going to make you want to approach certain enemies that are holding different weapons differently. Rather than just a Bokoblin holding a better sword or a Deku Leaf, now you have to watch out for that construct that's holding the gigantic, like, paddle that blows you off the entire island.
Yeah. I don't know. I was surprised to see just how few amount of islands are in the sky. So, like, the area you're in, there's a lot of islands, but he, like, pans out and looks across Hyrule, and there's a lot of areas that don't have islands, so I imagine you have to do something that unlocks islands and areas, which may be, like, dungeons or something.
Yeah, I mean, we did see a lot of, like, falling rocks in a lot of the trailers, and I swear there were more islands in the earlier trailers as well, especially looking over, like, the southern part of the map. I swear in the trailer we saw a lot more, but we didn't see them at this early stage of the game. Maybe you're right and they're like hidden from view or something until you do particular things. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe they're like they're way too high up and then they like descend down, or they do have to like, I don't know. There could be any number of things.
It's like the cloud barrier in Skyward Sword, where the cloud barrier from below is invisible, but the cloud barrier from above exists. Like, you know, when you're on Skyloft, you can't see below the world below because there are all those clouds. But when you're down on the ground, for whatever reason, you can look up and see the sun in a clear sky. There's some like evidence for that, even in Breath of the Wild. When the dragons appear spawning from the sky, they come through like what looks like a portal of clouds. So I think it's possible. I don't know if it's likely, but it's possible.
Speaking of dragons, he said there were like many ways to get up on the island. We probably have two confirmed ones. One you do recall and the other one flying up with your flying machines. And then when he said it, he was looking directly at a dragon. So I imagine you can ride a dragon as one of them.
Well, and that dragon is different from the three in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It's a completely different color. So very interested to see what that's about.
So I wonder if those are the three options and if there's any other ways to get up to the top. Maybe
you can do an ascend after a certain point.
There has just to be a limit to this ascend thing, right?
I hope so. There's a ceiling above me, just like a million units above my head. It's the island. I don't know. But I also just wanted to mention, I had a good chuckle when I was watching the trailer and he was fighting the construct and then picked up the items. And one of the items was literally a Zonai charge. And he didn't say anything. There was no other text on the screen throughout the rest of the trailer that said Zonai other than these charges. And I was like, Anuma just casually confirmed that this game is basically about the Zonai tribe.
I mean, everyone is kind of picking up on that.
Well, yeah, but it was never confirmed, you know?
Yeah.
It could have been a completely different set of technology, but, you know, it never said specifically that all of that green energy was Zonai. But now we have, like, a confirmation simply because you fight one of the constructs and it just said Zonai charge. It made me laugh.
I can't wait for everyone to get hyped up for the Zonai, and then the Zonai don't appear because, like, they're long dead or something. All we get are just their constructs and certain items with, like, item descriptions about them.
I could totally see that being the case simply because they're referred to as an ancient tribe in the little bits and pieces we get from Breath of the Wild. So I think it's highly possible that they're all dead.
Yeah. I wouldn't put too much stock into them.
I mean, I think that we'll get a lot of lore and information about them, but I don't think we'll see them.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there will be a Zonai character. That'll be my prediction.
All right. Write that one down, everybody. I don't want to go as far to say that there are absolutely no Zonai, but I don't even think we'll get like a Zonai city that's populated at all. Maybe there's like one ancient Zonai that's stayed alive.
Yeah. Like
Link can somehow communicate with him and that's why he knows how to use the hand or something like that. I don't know.
All right. All right. Yeah. I could see that. So like a tutorial character, the replacement of the King of Red Lions.
Right. Yeah. I think that that's the most likely thing, unless the hand is sentient, because when we see it holding Ganon down, there is like an actual hand, you know, that's holding him down, not just the like metal device.
The hand being sentient would be weird.
Jordan, it's going to be like Ezlo, okay? The hand is alive. since Fi is out of the equation
by the end of this, his hat, his sword, his hand.
I mean, Fi's out of the equation. She has to recover because the Master Sword got super corrupted. So now we need a new character that's in the hand.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll take that over Fi any day. Please don't give me Fi again.
I think that they could give us Fi again, just have her not say as much and give too many hints.
Yeah. If she doesn't that was her whole you problem. So much, and then also just give you completely useless stats. There's a 63% chance that your battery is dying.
It's like, well, it is dying. I can see the icon on my screen. Thanks. Like, I like her as a character in all of the cutscenes, but every time she talks to you, yeah, she's annoying as heck. So I do agree with that. Maybe Midna will show up and get the Twilight again, and it'll be revealed that the interlopers were actually Zonai all along. Just kidding.
It's more likely it's way the Zonai. Too late for that. Midna's long gone.
Hey, maybe time works differently in the Twilight Realm, okay? Or they give us Midna's long descendant.
If anything, I feel like the Twilight Realm like moves faster in time because like...
Probably.
They evolved.
They evolved very quickly.
There is not a lot of time between the events right before Ocarina of Time and the events of Twilight Princess.
Very true. But anyway, that's a totally different tangent.
But yeah, I did see a funny like post from Red from Overly Sarcastic Productions where she basically was like, I can hear the like the tears of all the open world developers crying that of what they're going to have to do to copy these mechanics now.
I know, right? I saw something similar. Like, all of this fusion stuff is going to be a nightmare for other developers to even try to copy. I can't imagine how much dev work went into it at Nintendo.
We know at least a year because their reason for the year delay was that they had like some system that they were working on that wasn't working quite right yet.
Well, there you go.
So
there you go.
I imagine longer than that. It probably started closer to the beginning of development.
They're like the flying machine keeps falling apart halfway through flight. Crap. Because honestly, one of the craziest things about the fusion mechanic, or not the fusion, but like the sticking together, what's it called? The Ultra Hand. Is that it doesn't like snap to specific locations. Like those logs didn't have to be perfectly aligned in the like straight three or even like halfway. Like Anuma, you could look and see it was shifting them like ever so slightly and it maintained that positioning, which I thought was so interesting.
I wonder if there'll be any like physics engine involved where it like detects the strength of the shape or whatever. And like if you make something a bit too fragile, it'll fall apart.
Yeah, he didn't show us what would happen if you just put two logs out there and tried to float on them. He had to do all three.
I'm going to make a rocket ship.
Though I will say the three logs together was probably a callback to Zelda 2.
Oh, yeah.
With the raft.
Is that what the raft design was?
The raft design was three logs. But not in that like kind of Y shape. They were just stacked together.
Right.
That's probably a stretch, but I could see them doing that for this trailer. Just a little hidden Easter egg. Like, yeah, no, we went back to our older games too. I guess that was Zelda 1, but, anyway, I think it's really interesting. Excited to see all of the possibilities with Ultra Hand and to see if there are upgrades that maybe the Sheikah engineers in, what were their names? Robbie and the one that kept aging backwards. What was her name?
Oh,
I don't know.
I forgot her name.
I wonder if they will be able to. P. Yeah. No. Maybe.
Pia. Pierre.
It'll come back to me. But anyway, maybe they'll be able to provide some sort of upgrades or other types of parts that you can integrate with your machinery. Because one of the biggest problems, well, I wouldn't say it's a problem, but one of my biggest questions is, where's all the Sheikah stuff? I know this game is about Zoni, but like, we had so much Sheikah technology and we just don't see any of it right now. The shrines are gone, which that's fine. They probably went underground after they realized the threat of Ganon was over. Link and Zelda might have turned them off or something. I don't know. But like, where are the rest of the Guardian parts? Why are the lights out in Hateno Village where the furnace was? And, you know, some of those other interesting things. I'm very curious to see how the Sheikah fit into this story.
All right. So is Pura, P-U-R-A-H?
I like them both. Robbie's hilarious because he's just super weird and has his robot wife.
I think both of them are hilarious.
Yeah, they're both really funny. But I think Robbie's a little crazier. But anyway.
So yeah, looking forward. I do kind of hope that we do get the Sheikah Slate abilities. I will miss bombs.
Yeah, bombs are so useful.
It's going to feel weird going around Hyrule without those abilities.
I agree. Though I'm sure they have patched bullet time shenanigans, like wind bombs and stuff. Like bullet time bouncing, wind bombs, all of that stuff, I'm sure. Even if they were still in the game, and they may still be, I'm sure that the bullet time stuff has been...
All right,
fixed.
But if Amnesis is in the game, did they patch out the flying machines?
That'd be hilarious. They're like, you can only make the flying machines that we want you to make. No Amnesis ones. But I do agree. I hope that they do return in some way. If we can play as Zelda, I hope she has them. Yeah. I don't see why she wouldn't if she is playable.
Well, I think the Sheikah Slate went with her, even in the trailer. So...
Right. Well, she's at least taking pictures down wherever she fell, right? A couple of other things I wanted to mention just briefly that I've seen in some more deep dive analyses of the gameplay. The first one is where Anuma ended. We saw like a stack of items that could be used to make a boat. But in the background, there's a gigantic pile of like bricks that has Beatles logo on it. And so one of the theories out there now is that one of our side quests or objectives that we can do besides just advancing the main plot is helping rebuild Hyrule with the Ultra Hand. And Beetle is helping us in that regard. Like we can make houses or storehouses or something. I don't know what you think about that.
So you have to like rebuild villages and stuff?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It'd be fun. So you'd probably have to go like chop down trees or whatever and like collect items and stuff. Hopefully like they don't, if you are building houses, I hope that you have more creative freedom with building.
I hope so too. Or it's possible it's going to be much like Hateno Village where you make a specific design and you just watch Link in a cutscene use his Ultra Hand to just make the house. I don't know. I could see it going either way, but it would be cool to have some customization since they already did Hateno Village. Not Hateno Village. I'm so sorry. I meant Tarrytown. Considering they already had that basic premise, it would be cool to have more customizability in rebuilding Hyrule. I agree. Additionally, it looks like there are shops on the island in some capacity. There was an icon on the map that looked like a shop icon of some kind. It appeared to be pointing toward some weird orb. So some folks are wondering if it's like a gacha machine that gives you materials or lets you get something from the Zoni on the islands. No idea what that could be.
Why are we putting in so many gacha things in games now? Minish Cap has like turned it off on me so much. I do not want gacha.
I don't know. And I don't even know like what they would gacha with. Maybe
statues,
it's like
of just, everything. It'll be Minish Cap's gacha all over again.
I hope not. I hope it's just useful items. I hope it's like an interface into a store where it's just like, here, you can buy arrows. Like, that's it. So that's something interesting. And then, of course, I already mentioned it, but there is a thought that there might be a crafting system for at least weapons. So,
yeah. Maybe the magic store is like parts for that crafting.
Yeah, that's totally possible. Or you can only craft at those types of locations as well. Maybe. But I still think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. This trailer was a really nice glimpse, and I'm honestly really glad I watched it. You know, I was kind of like, maybe I should surprise myself a little bit and just wait for the game to actually come out. But watching it honestly made me more excited for the game because the new gimmick looks really fun.
Yeah, and I imagine everything they showed, you'll find out in the first 30 minutes of the game anyway.
Oh, I'm sure.
they're definitely being very, very secretive with this game, even now. So, like, they definitely did this presentation specifically because, like, they're having their investor meeting this week. And so, like, this will make investors happier than probably a bit before. It would have been nice if they did this a week earlier for me specifically.
Yeah.
But we'll get onto that later. So, yeah.
Nintendo's also going to get a lot of money out of us Zelda fans, right? They also confirmed that OLED Switch design that was leaked a few months ago is real. So that's, you know, $350 for all of the Zelda fans that want that. They also announced the Pro Controller, which I got a pre-order for. That is like, what, $75 or something if you include tax? So that's another big chunk of money because Pro Controllers are still really expensive for some reason.
Wait, Pro Controllers are $75 now?
Because
they were like $50 when the Switch came out.
Yeah, the Pro Controllers are $69.99, and the Zelda one is $75.99.
Wow, Pro Controllers were more than I thought they were. That is so much money for a controller. Oh,
I think
man.
They've always been $70, though, so it feels a lot more. But, so anyway, the Zelda one, $75, because it costs $5 to paint them, apparently. Then they've also got the carrying case, Jordan, which was $25 with the new design on it. And then, of course, the game is $70, and the special edition is $130. So Nintendo's making a lot of money off of us Zelda fans that want everything.
Well,
I am not getting the Switch, but I got the Pro Controller.
Yeah, I already have my Pro Controller. I'm not experiencing any drift right now. Don't need a new Switch. They didn't. If they made it a Pro, I would have gotten it. and I wanted to buy the collector's edition, but Nintendo decided they didn't want my money for that one. So
yeah, didn't make enough copies.
Yeah, and I really enjoy the Breath of the Wild case, so I'm just going to stick with that.
It is a good case. Plus, it looks like a Sheikah slate, which is
cool.
I'm really quite excited for Tears of the Kingdom. I think that the gameplay footage was really quite nice and honestly just what I needed to kind of quell some of my fears. I am still a little hesitant about going back to Hyrule. I wasn't too thrilled to hear a lot of the same soundtrack from Breath of the Wild. The horse riding theme is the same. The stable theme is the same. Stable theme is fine to be the same, I guess. But like, also, even on the islands, when you enter the cold area, the music is the same as it was in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
So I was like, really?
It definitely feels like a sequel to the previous game.
Yeah.
They definitely are reusing a lot of assets from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, which, I don't know, the whole 7-year gap between sequels where like they're reusing so many assets, they're reusing basically the same map, and they're reusing music. Part of me is like, really, guys? You couldn't even give us more music?
I mean,
they gave us more music. The islands have their own unique theme, but like they couldn't change some of the themes to at least be somewhat remixed or different. Like it's.
Yeah. And they got some new music as well. Like when Onuma is talking, there's some new music being played that I really like.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is a new theme for like the general areas on the islands as well, which is quite nice. But again, hearing the same sounds for this is the cold area. I'm like, oh, man. OK.
But I definitely agree that I would have preferred if we went somewhere else, even somewhere that like already has a name, such as like Termina or whatever the continent is in Spirit Tracks.
I forgot. Yeah, New Hyrule.
Even Lorule. Even if like Lorule's big like part of this game, at least that. So like I'm just hoping that along with the Sky Islands, that we get like a Dark World or a Lorule or something, just because the original Hyrule field is going to still just be a huge part of the game.
Yeah. And the very center of the map, in Breath of the Wild, where it's like just the fields and plains leading up to Hyrule Castle is really empty. The trailer we got before this last one still showed a lot of empty areas, remember? Except for, yeah, like, I guess a couple of new structures. So in that way, I am still a little nervous. But I mean, the islands seem good, and yeah.
The Switch is only capable of handling so many enemies in an area.
This game just makes me wish that Nintendo had pushed forward on their plans for either a refresh of the console or the next one sooner, because this game deserves to be on the new console.
Well, we'll see how much of a jump the next console is when we get to it.
Hey, the Switch's hardware was announced in 2015. The NVIDIA Tegra chip that it's using was a 2015 chip, Jordan.
Yeah, it's almost 10 years
for mobile. I think they can do better than that, even if it's a chip that was announced in like 2022 or something. We've talked to death about the Switch, yeah, Pro.
This definitely is a game, though, that experience, like, as difficult as it is to get like the fusion stuff to work and all that, it does definitely look like a game that experienced a lot of development hell, just because there is still so much that is being reused and how long the development cycle was. It's definitely, yeah, it's a lot of people are being mean and calling it like essentially a $70 DLC. It's not that. It is a full game, a full new game.
Right.
But right, maybe not to the same level of like content that we were hoping for.
I mean, Breath of the Wild had a shorter dev cycle, just, yeah, barely. And we got a whole new map with all sorts of new experiences and groundbreaking trends. And as excited as I am for Tears of the Kingdom, this is not the same level of difference between Skyward Sword and Breath of the Wild as I would have hoped. Of course, I couldn't expect the moon and for them to just completely innovate the entire industry again straight away. They did have the 3D Zelda period where, you know, it was very formulaic between Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and even Skyward Sword. So I guess it's expected that Zelda's going to take a couple of iterations before they just completely break free again. But again, 7 years to just go back to the same map, even with all of these additions, is still understandably disappointing for a lot of people.
Yeah, especially since exploration was the main thing that I really liked about Breath of the Wild. And now, yeah, there's just not going to be as much to explore as there could be. There's still going to be lots to explore, but it won't be as big of a leap as Breath of the Wild was. But at the same time, it'll be more of a leap than like it was from Twilight Princess to Skyward Sword, I feel.
Oh, that's very true. So I agree. I mean, I am really looking forward to the game. I will also really enjoy going back to Hyrule and seeing what small differences we can note and checking out the new areas and playing around with the new mechanics. So, you know, to be positive on that note, I am very excited for the game. And the gameplay made me very, very excited for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited. And honestly, I kind of hope that they don't show any more. I'm good until the game comes out.
They'll probably give us one more short story trailer with some teasers, yeah, and showing off some of these mechanics.
I just don't trust Nintendo when it comes to spoilers. No. Like every reveal now from here till release is kind of just like we're rolling dice on like how much is, yeah, going to be revealed.
I will say, though, I think that Nintendo was waiting for this gameplay footage to come out before they could ramp up their advertising, because now they can start showing off the gimmick, you know, the fusion and the Ultra Hand stuff. Yeah. So
there's going to have to be another trailer and some TV spots and stuff, because like what they've shown now is enough for people like you and I, like the enfranchised players, but a lot of the like more casual players are going to need a bit more effort in the marketing department to reach.
I agree. Even though it is still a Zelda title and Zelda does well, like, typically.
The game will do well with the amount of marketing it has now, but we're talking like 10 to 15 million. If they want this to be like another 30 million game, they need to get like the whole world buzzing again, like they did with Wild.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we'll just have to wait until May and see what happens. Well, at least to get the games in our hands, of course. We'll probably see stuff from Nintendo before then, but... And if they do and we decide to watch it, we will talk about it. But if we don't watch it because we don't want to be spoiled, Yeah, we probably won't talk about it. Or we'll mention it. I don't know.
we'll get to that road
when we get there. Yeah. This episode is about Zelda and what we think is going to happen. No, we did not watch the latest trailer. Anyway, again, I think we're looking forward to Tears of the Kingdom. Don't think that we're being Debbie Downers and that it's going to suck. We do expect more a little bit, but I think we'll be very pleased with what we get. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I wish?
What, Jordan?
I wish I could have played this at PAX.
You went to PAX?
Yeah, I went to PAX East. And Nintendo was there, even. Kind of.
Were they?
Yeah, yeah.
Link was there, right?
So,
with his statue?
Yeah, so there was a big Link statue at PAX in the very front doors. I think Nintendo, out of every company, had the most space for all their booths. Guess what games Nintendo brought to PAX to show off? You'll never guess.
Mario Kart.
Mario Kart was probably there. Yeah, they had a versus tournament. They had Mario Kart. You'll guess like two or three of them, I think.
Splatoon?
Yeah, Splatoon 3 was there.
Definitely not Pikmin.
Nope. No,
they
Pikmin.
Wouldn't do that.
No Advance Wars. You know what event would be the perfect place to show off Advance Wars? The month before it comes out, it would have been PAX. not there.
That game's too controversial now, Jordan.
I'll save you the trouble. So Smash Bros. Is also there.
What?
Yeah, Smash Bros. Ultimate.
The game that's not getting any more updates?
Yeah. We got Mario for the NES. And
okay.
This is the killer one. The pinnacle showcase Nintendo game. Yoshi's Crafted World.
Didn't that game come out like 3 years ago? What the heck? I feel ripped off.
There is a conspiracy going around on the show floor with all the fans that PAX paid Nintendo to show up and Nintendo just brought just whatever random crap they had lying around.
Yeah, Yoshi's Crafted World came out 4 years ago.
Yeah, so I went to PAX. PAX East 2023. I will say it was a lot smaller than PAX West, which was the last PAX I went to in 2019, but that was before the pandemic. Apparently, AAA studios have not really come back to PAX yet. We had some Square stuff, some Capcom stuff, and Nintendo barely showed up.
Nintendo participated.
Nintendo was there. They took up the most floor space, but they had nothing to show for it.
But remember, Nintendo's lineup this year is amazing. They've got games the whole year long.
Yeah, so like, oh man, this would have been, if they brought a Zelda demo, just like, just to show like just that 10-minute, like a 10-minute demo of just the fusibility. People
on an island that you can't fall off of.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you needed. People would have lost their minds, but they decided to wait the day after PAX ended to show off what Zelda would be like. Capcom showed up with Street Fighter 6, and Final Fantasy showed up with some Final Fantasy, or Square showed up with some Final Fantasy 16 stuff, but it wasn't a demo. It was just a panel with the director. And then everything else is indie. And the indie showcase was pretty good, in my opinion. I just kind of wanted to go over like five games that I really liked, and then one game I didn't really like, but I think David would like, so I want to talk about it.
Okay. Awesome.
So, in no particular order, like I liked a bunch of these. It's kind of, because these are all demos, I don't want to like be reviewing the game or anything, because they are like alpha builds and all that stuff, right?
And they're crafted to get your attention.
Yeah, so they're just trying to get my attention, trying to get my, just like show off their ideas, get people talking about them and stuff. Some of them are a lot further along than others, and some of them I am very glad I got to play, but wow, maybe this should not have been a demo yet.
Good to hear.
So on the side of like ready to play, very far along demos, Mina the Hollower, we talked about this earlier as like one of our
interesting games. Oh, I am so thrilled for this game.
This was very fun. So this was at the Yacht Club booth. And it's kind of like a Game Boy Zelda game, but also a Souls-like kind of, but also arcadey. So it's like not kind of an open world. It's more level based or whatever, right? You enter levels, and then you also have a score system, and you can like collect score points in the level, and there's a high score board. You can change your weapons, and then it's pretty Soulsy from then on. And then the graphic style and like the combat style is very Game Boy Zelda-esque, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks so cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. They just the demo was they gave you 15 minutes to just go from the start of the game and go it as far as you could get. Almost cleared the first dungeon. Combat felt really, really good. You have three weapons, like double swords, a whip, and a maul, I believe. And you can change them throughout the level at certain spots. And I stuck with mostly the double swords and then also the whip, just because having reach is really good. There were some encounters where the enemy placement was kind of mean. Like, they definitely take a lot of inspiration from the Souls games, but it was fun. It was really fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out pretty soon because it felt really polished, at least the demo area.
From what I remember reading on their Kickstarter, their target is by the end of this year. So, yeah. But it'll probably be before then.
Yeah. So that was one of my most anticipated games coming in. It's still one of my most anticipated games. One game that I really enjoyed was Wild Frost. Have you played any Slay the Spire before?
I've watched a lot of it. I think my brother has it. I've wanted to play it.
Okay.
And it looks fun.
Yeah, so this is kind of like another Slay the Spire. It's another roguelike deck builder game. It's set in like a frozen world or whatever, and you're working with like ice magic to like freeze enemies and stuff. And you also have more characters to use. So in Slay the Spire, you only have your one main character. In this one, you can have a bunch of minions. And so, like, placement of characters on the road matter. But, so there's a lot of, like, strategic implication in that. It's also roguelike. So you have to, like, kind of, like, build things on the fly. That one was very, very fun. I am definitely picking it up. And I think it's coming out really soon. I think the reviews for the game just came out. I don't think the game's out yet, but it's like a few weeks away from now. Maybe it's even this week.
April 12th.
April 12th.
So very soon.
All right. Yeah. So very, very soon. That one definitely felt like it was nearing completion. Very fun. I love card-based games. So
see, and that's not fair, right? You went into this with like this is a card game. I love card games. So of course you were going to love it, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, all the games on this list are games from genres I typically enjoy. There's a lot of Souls-likes and card stuff. Speaking of Souls-like, Anatria, the last song, I don't think this will be coming to Switch. But I was very surprised to see it show up. It was a game that was also on a list of games that I'm really anticipated to play. It's another Souls-like. I believe a bunch of ex-Witcher developers worked with it. Don't quote me on that.
Oh, cool.
That's just what I've been told, but I might be wrong. I'm going off the top of my head. This one felt pretty rough in terms of like the state of development it's in. It definitely felt like it's pre-alpha. Like the developers there, they kept talking like they're like definitely very passionate about the game and like talking about how like Bloodborne was a huge inspiration, but like it's not quite the speed of Bloodborne. It felt a lot closer to original Dark Souls in terms of speed. Which if you've played through all the Souls games, you would know that that's considerably slower. AI was definitely very gimmicky, but the graphics were gorgeous for a indie studio game.
That's cool.
It's a full, it looks AAA, even though it's not AAA. Music is phenomenal. I am excited for this one, but I really do hope they kind of like fix up the controls and the AIs for enemies before it comes out.
That's cool.
Yeah, that one was really enjoyable. I also played. So do you watch the YouTuber Dunkey?
Yeah, I've seen some Dunkey videos.
Yeah, so he's now producing video games. He set up publishing studio. His game was there. Well, the game he's publishing, like a different studio is developing it, but their game was there, Animal Well, which that one was a really well set up demo. They definitely utilized their space better than most other studios. Like most studios, they have all this space and then they just put like one or two TVs down. It's like, guys, you gotta move through more people. Like you gotta turn through this. But yeah, I think they had like something like 12 demos set up in like their very limited amount of space. So they definitely were turning through people a lot quicker than most other demos. This one, you kind of like, you're like this blob thing that just starts out in a dungeon with no like information of what's going on. And you're just trying to move through the dungeon, as like traps and monsters kind of come out and kill you. But
yeah,
very fun. I really enjoyed what I played of it. Fun exploration kind of game. Looking forward to that one. And then the last game that I really enjoyed in my top five is a game called Chrono Sword, which is another Souls-like in a 2D pixel art Souls-like game. If this one was definitely in pre-alpha. I just kind of chuckled because like there was a point where they exited to desktop, and then they had like a specific like EXE on the desktop titled like PAX East Demo 4 Build 4 Final, and then .exe. It's like these guys.
That's amazing.
These guys have been editing every single day of PAX, like updating it. We are active testers right now.
Crap, they just found a game-breaking bug that we had no idea about. Fix it, patch it, go.
Yeah, well, I did run into a game-breaking bug where they had to reset my game, but...
that's hilarious.
The controls definitely need a lot of work, but I'm sure they'll get there. Like I said, I can't really review it, but the art is absolutely gorgeous. Like, the visuals of this game, it's a Souls-like... It's a 2D Souls-like, but, like, you're able to interact with time portals to go back before like some calamity event or something. And that's where like all the NPCs are that you can interact with. And then you go back through the portal and everything is like absolutely decimated and there's rubble everywhere. And that's where the monsters are and everything and how you advance further on into the world. Very creative ideas. Cool. Just needs to fix up its combat a bit more. It's not quite there. And then the game that I did not like, but you would really like, have you heard of Rift of the Necrodancer?
Of course I have. I love Crypt of the Necrodancer and Cadence of Hyrule. I've been following these developers for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So this one, it's basically Rhythm Heaven, which in our last episode, you were saying you really enjoy Rhythm Heaven.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for this when it first came out, and I was like, finally, someone's making their own Rhythm Heaven because they're tired of waiting for Nintendo to make one.
Yeah, so like it alternates between these kind of Guitar Hero-esque levels where there's a bunch of enemies from the Necromancer games that interact with the notes differently or whatever. So like a normal zombie or something is just a single note that you have to like click on rhythm. But like a bat, when you hit it on rhythm, will then like go backwards up the rift and then will come back down to be a later. So it's like kind of like tripping you up.
yeah.
Where all the notes are kind of moving around. If you're good at rhythm games, I'm sure it's a lot of fun. I am not good at rhythm games.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
Yeah, I really struggled with that one. So it alternates from the Guitar Hero thing to classic Rhythm Heaven mini games. The first one was like some yoga game where you have to do like the correct yoga poses in time with everyone else. And then
cool.
There was also a Rhythm Heaven game where it's basically Punch Out in rhythm form.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think you'll really enjoy it, David.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it.
It was definitely one of the games my friends enjoyed the most. It's just I'm not good at rhythm.
Yeah. Well, cool. Sounds like you enjoyed your time at PAX East. One of these days I'll go to one of those conferences.
Yeah.
I keep telling myself I should.
Yeah. Maybe we could go to PAX West next year.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. We should plan on it and then we can give our experience. Maybe we could do fun little live recordings of us. Nah, we don't have to do that.
One thing I thought was interesting. So when I was at PAX West, most demos were Nintendo Switches because like Nintendo Switch was the indie platform of choice.
Yeah.
Now it is definitely the Steam Deck. It's not even close.
See, Nintendo, this is what happens when you don't give us an upgraded model.
Like there were a handful of Switches still around. But the Steam Deck was just everywhere. There were probably about as many Switches as there were PS5s at this point.
Which is not a lot.
Yeah. And the PS5s are mostly there just for VR games.
Right, because they do have a really great VR experience.
Yeah, yeah. Which, it's a good thing I went to PAX, because we got some news today.
Today, literally. E3's canceled! Ooh, I guess. I mean, I think a lot of us saw that this was a possibility, considering none of the big three were going to show up. Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo all were skipping out on it. And literally earlier this week, we got news that even like Ubisoft and I think Capcom were also pulling out. And they just decided today that it's done. They're not doing it this year, which is a shame because E3 used to be like the big place to show off new stuff.
Yeah, E3 kind of fumbled things recently in the last few years.
Yeah, they did.
That time where they leaked everyone's information was not good.
They did say in a statement that they're planning future events, so maybe they'll be able to convince the industry to go back next year. We'll have to see.
Yeah, they're going to have to wrestle that time slot from Keighley, though.
True. Very true. Whatever.
Which is a shame, because I do not like the Keighley shows.
No.
I don't like getting force-fed advertisements,
yeah.
And the other downside is usually when E3 is canceled, as we've learned in the last 5 years, whenever E3 is canceled, that usually means there's no June Direct for Nintendo.
Right, because they're like, well, this we don't need to, no one else is.
So I'm going to predict that there will be no June Direct for Nintendo this year.
All right, I'll mark that down. I'm not going to say either way. I believe you, but I don't have a strong enough opinion to say it. Yeah, either way.
I think we'll get a Pikmin-specific Direct thing at like the beginning of July, and they'll consider that good enough. And then we'll maybe get our big direct, honestly, the end of August.
Yeah.
And that's when we'll learn
about. They keep telling us they've got more games for the end of the year, but we still haven't seen them.
Yeah.
The big games are going to be the Tears of the Kingdom DLC. That's going to be it.
And then that DLC will get delayed to be Tears of the Kingdom sequel.
But hey, they managed to give us Ballad of the Champions with Breath of the Wild before they moved on, so I imagine we will get some DLC.
Yeah, considering how much longer that ended up making development to start for Tears of the Kingdom, I don't want DLC for Tears of the Kingdom now.
Yeah, I agree. I did appreciate the Breath of the Wild DLC because it gave more depth to some of the characters, but yeah, hopefully this game is enough to stand on its own, but considering Nintendo's love for DLC now, I'm sure there's going to be something.
Well, it's so much money. So, like, a base game is $60 to $70 now. DLC, you can charge that for $30 with, like, a fraction of the work.
Exactly. Bummer that we're not getting E3. We'll have to see what Nintendo's future plans are at another date and time. In the meantime, we at least have Zelda to look forward to in about a month and a half from now.
Yeah.
So, very exciting.
Yeah, we'll have Zelda and then Pikmin, and then we are flying blind the rest of the year.
Yep. Well, here's looking forward to that. We'll have to talk about it as it comes. Anyway, is there anything else to talk about today, Jordan?
I think I'm good.
Well, thanks again for chatting with me about Tears of the Kingdom and then sharing your experience at PAX. I'm glad it was a good time for you. If you are interested in chatting about anything that we talked about in this episode or Nintendo in general, come check out our Discord at nintendofusion.com/discord. And of course, please be sure to leave us a like, a review, a comment, or whatever the platform you're listening to us on has. Doing so will help boost the show so others can find it just like you did. But with all that said, thanks again for listening to the Nintendo Fusion podcast, and we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.